Who knows that this is a new day? It truly is. We've come to a new time. I believe this with my whole heart. We are in a new day. And we're just on the edge, breaking over into it. I have a favorite revelation. This is one of my favorite revelation scriptures in all the Bible. It comes out of Deuteronomy, of all places. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and it's the 3rd verse. This is the New King James Version. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. What a revelation. Life-changing revelation. Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 3 and 4. Jesus quoted this scripture out of Deuteronomy. It is at his time of temptation. Verse 3 says, now when the tempter had come to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you remember where he was in his ministry when he quoted this scripture? Remember, he had just been baptized by John the Baptist. And he was led into the wilderness by Holy Spirit, led him out into the wilderness. So that temptation and a humbling and a hunger could come to him. It's the start of a new day. You see, Jesus came to start a new time. The Redeemer of the world was starting his ministry. The one who saves us all, the one who paid the price, he was just beginning. It was a new day. Amazing. When did Moses quote this scripture? Deuteronomy 8:3. It was a new day for Israel. It really was. They were about to enter the promised land. They're sitting on the edge of the promised land. There were a lot of things that must be accomplished. There was much work to do at this point. The wandering was over. They were now free men. You know, they were allowed to follow the dictates of their hearts. They were no longer in bondage to those who had them enslaved. They were no longer building houses for the others. They were no longer harvesting food for others. They were no longer building idols to false gods for others. They were set free to follow the dictates of their heart. That's us. Set free to follow the dictates of our hearts. Even Moses had been raised up under Pharaoh's rule. He'd been raised up, shown all the false gods to worship them, been raised up in the luxuries. Every luxury you could have that day was available to Moses. But what did he do? He chose to be identified with God. It was a miracle of God that Moses got set free like that. It truly was. I want to read just a few of the promises God gave them through Moses just before they entered the promised land. You see, as a new day begins, we get promises. Here they are. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. We're going to back up. I'm going to read scriptures 11 through 14, and I'm going to be, excuse me, reading from New Living Translation. Verse 11. Therefore, you must obey all these commands, decrees, and regulations I'm giving you today. If you listen to these regulations and faithfully obey them, the Lord your God will keep his covenant of unfailing. Did we sing about that this morning? Unfailing love. Don't you love what God does? He emphasizes things that he wants us to take to heart today. God will keep his covenant of unfailing love with you, as he promised with an oath to your ancestors. He will love you and bless you, and he will give you many children, and he will give you fertility in your land and your animals. And when you arrive in the land he swore to give to your ancestors, you will have large harvests of grain, new wine and olive oil, great herds of cattle, sheep, and goats. You'll be blessed above all the nations of the earth. None of your men or women will be childless. All your livestock will bear young. Some amazing promises that we've read here. You know, it was a day then where children were a blessing. They were considered the gold standard for being blessed. They were considered the most valuable things a man and a woman can have. These promises were given that when they arrive and take possession of the promised land, it's a new day. No longer are the male babies being taken away. An amazing, amazing day. Because this is Old Testament, is it no longer true? It's still true. If we'll obey the commands and the decrees. Yes. Has there ever been a time more difficult on the face of this earth to raise children than today? Every one of us that I know of in here who've raised children, it's just the most difficult, amazing thing that's happened. And why is it, guys? Many are not obeying the commands and decrees, the Word of God. Deuteronomy 8:3, so he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So he humbled them. They were now willing to listen to what the Lord would say and obey it. He allowed them to hunger, so much so they complained while they were in the wilderness. And he fed them with manna, angel's food. Guys, I believe this with my whole heart, that this is prophetic. What happened to them was pointing at Jesus. Because this is exactly what happened to Jesus. He went into the wilderness for much the same reasons. Philippians 2:8 says, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the cross. And then in Matthew 4:11 it says this, after all the devil's temptations, it says, 11, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Jesus ate angels' food. It's an amazing thing how God points to Jesus Christ back there, and then he brings it to pass when Jesus comes. Can you see this just by casually reading through Scripture? You can't. You have to sit and listen to what he says. So what was it like the time just before the new day, like we're in? What was it like then, before Moses came? There was so much unbelievable hard labor. It was just terrible. Exodus 3:7, and the Lord said, I have seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. He knows, guys. He knows what you've been through. He knows your sorrows. He knows. He knows. He's watched. He's seen. So God raised up a deliverer in that day. His name was Moses. The promised land in the new day. Remember, Joseph had carried God's word and decrees when they came to Egypt. He was the one speaking prophetically to them. And a lot of years had passed before this had come. Life had really deteriorated for the Israelites in Egypt. Exodus 1:8, New Living Translation says it this way: eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. Genesis 15:13, New Living Translation says, then the Lord said to Abraham, you can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land. They will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. Amazing. That's important, 400 years. It's prophetic. After Joseph was gone and Abraham was gone, there was a scarcity of the Word of God. Well, they still believed in God, but you see, a new day needed to come. And this Word needed to be announced and experienced, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Guys, who knows this? It's really hard to live off words that have been given many years ago. It's really hard to live off words of the Lord that were given to us many years ago. We have to come to the only source, don't we? We will absolutely wither. We will wither up and shrivel without fresh manna, without a word from the Lord. Who's addicted to hearing a fresh word from the Lord? I mean, oh my gosh. I'm like a kid with lollipops, you know? Give me more, give me more, give me more, you know? Give us this day. Isn't that what Jesus said? Give us this day our daily bread. We are meant to have words from the Lord on a daily basis. It's an amazing thing. So God raised up Moses. He learned humility in the desert. He sent him in prophesying and doing miracles. And all of a sudden, the word of the Lord was no longer scarce after 400 years. Freedom came. Life returned. We all know that story about how he took them through the wilderness. So let's turn to the New Testament day, the time before Jesus came. Let's look at that. Excuse me for a moment. It has been said that the word of the Lord was scarce for 400 years before Jesus came. From the time of Malachi to the time of John the Baptist, 400 years had passed. They're called the silent years because there's no prophecies. There's no word of the Lord to the Israelites. Amazing. Let's listen to a word that Jeremiah gave back in about 580 B.C., years before Jesus came. Lamentations, the second chapter, verse 9 in the New Living Translation, it says, Jerusalem's gates have sunk into the ground. Her kings and princes have been exiled to distant land. He wasn't prophesying about this, guys, because this had happened. And her kings and princes have been exiled to a distant land, and her law ceased to exist. But then he said this, her prophets receive no more visions from the Lord. What a terrible curse. Who's grateful for the Bible? We have in our possession, I imagine most of you are like me, you got Bibles everywhere. Some you read because you like them, and others are just gathering dust. But, you know, here's the thing about today and what we've been through. Many would say that this, we all know what we call it, what, the Logos, the written word. And many would say this is the only word of God, disregarding Rhema, the spoken and active word of God. I know many times when you speak this word, it becomes Rhema. But there's also other words that are Rhema. You know, Jesus said that man lives by the words that proceed from the mouth of God. And we have been in a time in our nation where our leaders have just, most of them have been basically disregarding what the Lord says. In the Old Testament days, there wasn't a king or a leader alive who didn't have prophets. They may not have been good prophets, but they had prophets. And they would listen to what they said, and they would act and judge accordingly. And we have been through a period in this nation where most of our leaders, I should say just many of our leaders, have not been paying any attention to what's going on. In fact, many of them have tried to shut God's church down, tried to keep us from gathering together. Amazing, isn't it? Just what the enemy does. But I'm here to say, we're in a new day. We're in a new day. This word shakes me when I read it, because I realize that for many years I was going to places that disregarded prophecy. 2 Chronicles 20:20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Wow. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. I have some testimony sometime that I will share about that. That is just amazing. About me not really believing a prophet, and it cost. This is a promise that Israel seemed to forget a lot. They'd go and they'd get a word from the Lord from a prophet, and they'd say, "He didn't say go down, not to go down to Egypt." Anyway, who would dare give such a word? Give a prophetic word for a nation? You have to be one who has the fire of prophecy shut up in your bones. And nothing you can do, nothing you can say, nothing you can eat, nothing you can drink can put the flame out. It's just going to come out. And so the word of God comes out. It is written, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Prophets are again being recognized in our nation. We actually have leaders now who are beginning to consult them. It's a new day, guys. They will get inside words. You know, they will hear truth that the only way you can get it is through a prophet, because nobody knows. It's something spoken in an inner chamber somewhere, a deal or a plan. And the only way a leader can get it is have a prophet tell him, because it's been kept secret. Amazing. Okay, so what's it like to live by God's spoken word? What's it like? Luke has recorded in Acts, the 2nd chapter, verses 16 through 21, a prophecy from Joel, 2nd chapter, verses 28 through 32. And this is the time when all the followers were in the upper room. And they were waiting, as Jesus told them, said, "Go, get up and wait for the coming promise." It's the time that Holy Spirit comes. Some accused these people of being drunk. Remember that? Because they're prophesying, they're speaking in tongues, and they're all speaking at the same time, and it's just a tumult. And so they accuse him of being drunk. And Peter stands up and says this, Acts, the 2nd chapter, verse 16 through 21, New Living Translation. He says, "No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my spirit even upon my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. They will speak God's word. And I will cause wonders. I will cause wonders, God says, in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before the great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What a day. This is the day we are living in. An amazing new day. These are the words that proceed from the mouth of God today. Things have changed. Things have changed. So how do we live by the words that proceed from the mouth of God? Psalm 119, 105 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, so you can see what you're stepping on, and a light to your path, to my path, so I can see where I'm going." His word, it lights it up so you don't step on rough things, and it lights up the path so you can see where you're going. It's a word about our lives. Do we get up in the morning and say this? Oh, today, I want to live today, so I'm going to start listening to what the Lord says today. Is that what we do? Get up and say, I want to live today, so today I'm going to listen to what the Lord says. I'd say, well, that's a start. We can start there. To recognize that our very life is tied to God's word. Who we are, what we do, it's tied to his word. You see, to live a life of faith, the word that proceeds from the mouth of God is activated by speaking. You know, I know a lot of us are pretty quiet, but if you want to activate your faith and you want to see change, put some voice to what you know. Speak it out. Psalm 89:34 says this, "My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out from my lips." Yes, to follow God's words takes faith. It does. And what's our faith in, guys? What's it in? That we have enough faith to cause something to come to pass? That's a hard place to believe, that we have enough faith to cause something to come to pass. It just doesn't work out that way. That in me, there's enough faith to work the works of God, to heal, to deliver, to save. Getting uncomfortable, isn't it? Hearing this. You think, yeah, I just got to have enough faith. No, I do not possess enough faith to do the miracles alone. I just don't. I believe my God can do miracles. Do you see the difference? I also believe my God loves me so much that I have such great favor with him that whatever I ask according to his will, he will do it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Don't have faith in your faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in him. That you have so much favor with him that if you ask anything according to his will, he'll do it. You know, Pat calls this superabundant grace. I call it, or unmerited favor, I call it reckless love. The reckless love of God. You see, because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, whosoever believes in him will have everlasting life. You talk about reckless love. Whosoever includes a lot of unsavory characters, a lot of unlikable folks, a lot of people you just sometimes don't really want to be around them because, man, he's abrasive or she's you know, hard to like. God says all they got to do is call on him today and they will be saved. Do you believe God said he sent his word and healed them? Do you believe that? It's unmerited favor. Did you do anything to earn it? Nope. Can you do enough to earn it? Can't. It's not about doing enough. It's just not. It's about his love and his grace. Having faith in his love and his grace. I'm telling you, it's reckless love that he'd love one such as me. I have so much favor with God. He forgave my sin. He healed my soul. And he is preparing a special eternal home for me and you. He wants to do signs and wonders through us. So why is it a new day then? You say, I know all this. Well, he's bringing to pass this truth to the church that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's not just quoting a passage in the book, is it? It's just not. The time of God's favor is upon us, of God's great favor. Jesus told his disciples that he had food that they didn't know of. Remember John 4:33 when he's talking to the woman at the well and the disciples come up and said, Master, eat something. You've been here all day. You haven't anything to eat. I don't need it. I have food you know nothing of. He'd feasted on God's daily bread that day. It's our daily bread. What does the Lord say? To think that we can hear him is to not hear him is to deny the very reason we were created. You can hear the Lord. You're denying God's word that you can't hear him. Yes, you can. You were created to hear him. You got two ears, you know. Maybe one's for the enemy, one's for him. I don't know. But you got two of them, and you need them both. I got one that doesn't hear very good, and don't ask me the direction the sound came from. I can't tell you. You need them both. Do you receive the words today that you have God's favor? Do you receive that today? That you have his unmerited favor, his great grace on you. Speak it out loud. Listen, I have this to say about this. New beginnings are often disguised as painful endings. New beginnings are often disguised as painful endings. Are you in some pain because of something ending? Maybe God's bringing something new in our life. It's a truth about Christianity that just echoes down through the ages. You know? Amazing thing. I mean, when I quit work, it was kind of painful learning to start that life without having that daily walk into work, going out and doing what I was doing out in the yard. It wasn't always especially pleasant, but boy, it was a new beginning. When I accepted this, I wouldn't say it's painful. I get the joy of studying his word. I get the joy of he brings revelation. Like he told me that it's really hard to live on past words without getting daily bread. It's so hard. So glorious to walk with him, to listen to him daily, to get up and know that he's wanting to talk with us. And give us a daily word to go out. And that's what we need in this new day. This is the new time. It's not the time to come and just sit in the seat and warm a chair on Sunday morning. It's a new day. Will you pray with me? First off, Father, I want to thank you for keeping my voice through this. Amazing. Now, I thank you for everyone that's here, Father. They've heard your word. And they've heard man doesn't live by bread alone. We get so focused, Father, on what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear. So, Father, I ask to help focus us, realign our sight and our hearing to hear and see what God is doing today, that we would walk with sight, that these things that come to pass are for a purpose and a plan and an objective in our life, because this is a new day, Lord. And we need to be actively involved, Father, having that mind of Christ to walk with you. Thank you for blessing these people, each one of them, Lord, that as they'd walk with your word. They'd walk as a new day. Things aren't the same. Things are changing. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory for what you're doing here. It's a new day for us at Christian Fellowship. I have no idea where you've taken us, but I'm here. We'll go where you take us. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm up here if you want.